Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to another episode of Islam in Focus. I'm your host, Hamid Rashid. Today we have our 48th program in our series dealing with Muhammad, the last messenger of Allah. It's our seventh program in the series talking about the marriages of the Prophet. And more specifically, in today's program, we'll be continuing our discussion of the Prophet's marriage to Zainab. I'm pleased to have joining me on the program, as usual, Dr. Jamal Badawi of St. Mary's University. Father Jamal, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Could you very quickly take a few moments to highlight the main points we touched on last week?
Certainly. We discussed the background of the marriage of the Prophet, peace be upon him, from Zainab, the daughter of Jahsh, that she was his cousin, and that he actually pressured her, really, to get married to Zayd. And that was meant to give a good example of the brotherhood of Islam and standing against the aristocracy, which was common among the Arabs. Secondly, we indicated that Zainab found that it was difficult for her to rid herself of this kind of customs. So there were some problems between her and her husband, and the husband complained to the Prophet, that Zayd complained to the Prophet. And the Prophet, even though he knew through revelation that this marriage will not last, he asked him to hold on to his wife and to be patient, and kept hiding the information that he had, that it won't work anyway. But after Zayd divorced Zainab, the Prophet was commanded through revelation to get married to Zainab. And by way of clarification, he also indicated the difference between fostering and adoption, which was really the basic legal issue or legislative purpose behind the marriage of the Prophet from Zainab. The last question was whether the Prophet actually was really commanded to do this, or was it his choice? And actually he said that even if he were not commanded to do that by divine revelation, even his decision is unblemished. There could be no question even about that. But in fact, there is an evidence of receiving specific instructions to be the first one to break this kind of taboo or social custom that was not acceptable Islamically from the legislative standpoint.
Well, of course, we pick up on that point to begin today's program, and perhaps I could ask you to comment and give us the specific reference to this evidence in the Quran.
The most manifest evidence appear in Surah number 33, in passage 37, which clearly says, just to pick the part that relates to your question, فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا, which means when Zayd, that's the former husband, dissolved his marriage with her, we joined her in marriage to you. The speaker, yes, in that case is God himself.
Yes.
Allah speaks and he says, we, God, joined her in marriage to you. It could have said, when Zayd dissolved his marriage, you married her. And there's a big difference. So that means that it was a command to the Prophet, not something out of his own choice, and not something based on his own desire to marry her. No wonder, actually, Zainab used to boast on other wives of the Prophet by saying that you people were married here, but it was God who commanded the Prophet to marry me, just
yes,
by way of speaking about the privilege she had. So that seems to confirm what was indicated in the previous program, that the marriage of the Prophet from Zainab was intended for the establishment in a practical way of a new legislative rule that the adopted son is not to be exactly the same as the natural son in the matters of marrying their divorcees.
Mm-hmm. The legislative reason that you referred to, is this based only on historical evidence, or is it also mentioned in the Quran? And if so, could you tell us where?
Let me begin, sir, first by saying that even if there is no explicit mention of that in the Quran, the historical evidence, the reason of revelation that has just been explained, is quite sufficient to indicate that the purpose behind that marriage was legislative. It's quite legitimate. But the fact of the matter is that it is actually mentioned in the Quran explicitly. The verses in the Quran that deals with the topic of the marriage of the Prophet from Zainab, especially the one I mentioned before, it's a long verse actually, so I'm picking the points as we go on. Verse 37 in Surah number 33. These verses are preceded in the very same Surah, or chapter, as some people call it, that's in verse 4 and 5 in the very beginning, expressed for the first time quite manifestly the disapproval of the system of adoption as practiced by the Arabs at that time, and the idea of giving a false identity to the adopted child, the name of the foster father or adopting father. And the verse is quite clear. It says, وَمَا جَعَلَ أَدْعِيَاءَكُمْ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ, that God or Allah did not make your adopted sons your sons, which means they are not the same as your natural sons. And this indicates that the intent of God really was to change that system of adoption as was known among the Arabs, and to change it more in line with what you might call today perhaps a system of fostering.
Yes.
And of course, by implication, once you get into that, then the divorcee of a foster child, as should be really called, should be regarded legally as just a divorcee of a foster child, not a divorcee of a natural child.
Yes.
And that she would be entitled to remarry even the person who is regarded as a foster father. It's not the same position like a natural child. And in addition to this evidence, we find that an even more explicit and expressed mention of that in the Quran to explain the, you know, the, this is the proper understanding of it. In the verse I referred to before, that's in Surah 33, verse 37, it says, فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ فِي أَزْوَاجِ أَدْعِيَائِهِمْ. That is, when Zayd dissolved his marriage with her, says, we joined you, O Prophet, with her, as we indicated before, in marriage. And then it says, give the reason, in order that there may be no difficulty or no barrier to the believers in the matter of marriage with the divorcees, that is, of their adopted sons.
Yes.
In my humble understanding, nothing could be more conclusive and more explicit than this, to indicate that this was the purpose behind the marriage. And it shows quite clearly that the various versions presented by some Orientalists and missionaries are totally baseless, given all kind of fictitious
reasons. I agree with you wholeheartedly. In fact, I believe the proofs that you've given so far are more than adequate. However, there are some Orientalists and missionaries who claim that the Quran testifies that the Prophet was hiding his love for Zainab and his desire to marry her. How would you respond to people who held that particular view?
Well, I would first of all say it is absolutely untrue. Factually speaking, there is no single ayah or verse in the entire Quran,
yes,
that says what they say, that says the Prophet was hiding his love of Zainab.
Yes.
What the Quran simply say is that when Zayd complained to the Prophet about the tension between him and his wife, it simply said that the Prophet counseled him to hold on to his wife, and it says, and the Prophet hid something in himself, and he did not divulge certain information. But what is that thing that the Prophet was hiding? In other words, I'm saying here that what they put is an interpretation, not a text of the Quran.
Yes.
And their interpretation is definitely erroneous for the following reason.
Yes.
When you refer to that verse, actually, it says, behold, that's addressing the Prophet, you did say to one who had received the grace of Allah and your favor, referring to Zayd, the husband of Zainab, retain you in wedlock, your wife, and fear Allah. But you, means Muhammad,
yes,
peace be upon him, you did hide in your heart that which Allah was about to make manifest. So all the verse says simply that when the Prophet counseled him, there was something that the Prophet hid in his heart, did not declare. What is that thing? It is true, and maybe that's the reason why they stick to some of those weaker versions and keep making a whole theory out of that, is that the Mufassir of the Quran, the famous one, At-Tabari, in volume 22, page 10, indicates, as any historian, but perhaps without sufficient verification, that they, excuse me, they have been, he said, some narrations or reports that the thing that the Prophet hid in his heart was either the love of Zainab or the hope that Zayd may divorce her, and that if Zayd divorces her, he may get married to her. It is interesting to notice that in one of these reports narrated by At-Tabari, who is normally more careful than that, he says, Fima dhukir. And Fima dhukir means something as it has been said.
Yes.
And if you really examine it vis-a-vis the basic rules of verification that has been used in Islamic literature, who heard from whom, and go back to verify the chain of narration, to verify the integrity of reporters. So in one of those stories, even there's no trace of narration. In another story, he traced it through some of the companions of the Prophet. But even then, there could be a major question about the authenticity of that particular report. But even if that report is given by way of interpretation or understanding of a person, no person, including even the companions of the Prophet, are infallible. And as we mentioned before, that kind of explanation seems to be more connected with the story that we discussed a couple of programs ago, that this notion of the desire to marry Zainab was a story that was initiated originally by the adversaries of the Prophet, especially the hypocrites and other people, and that many careful scholars did not mention it at all, like Ibn Hisham does not include that story in his famous work. And other scholars like Ibn Kathir and Ibn al-Arabi, al-Zuhri and al-Qushayri are very well known scholars who checked that report and found it to be unauthentic. And there is no question in my mind that even if that report were to be authentic, even it would have been a mistaken understanding of whoever reported it, if one considered the context of that particular verse and the verses around it.
Mm-hmm. Could you perhaps elaborate as to why, in your view, that explanation is erroneous?
It is erroneous because if we say that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had any desire to get married to Zainab, who was his cousin and known to him, he would have married her beforehand, before he pressured her to get married to Zayd, as we mentioned before. And there is no man who would like to see the one he wants to marry go to her, pressure her to get married to some other man, live with him, and then wait until he divorces her to get married. Doesn't make any sense at all.
No.
But even if we take the other assumption that, all right, he loved her later and wanted to get married to her after she was already married to Zayd. Well, number one, what's happened all of a sudden, falling in love, and he had already known her as a cousin, very close to their family. What happened all of a sudden after she married another man, based on his own urging? Doesn't make sense. But even if we were to take that very unlikely assumption, which is not true, it would contradict the following facts. Number one, to say, for example, that the Prophet fell in love with Zainab while she is married, desired to marry her while she was already married to another person, is totally inconsistent with the amply proven, unblemished purity and chastity of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, known about him throughout his entire life, even before prophethood and before even he got married. What is more important is that this assumption also, as I said earlier, is contradictory with the context of those verses. Why? If one looks carefully into that key verse, verse 37 in surah number 33, Allah tells him, وَتَخْشَى النَّاسَ وَاللَّهُ حَقُّ أَن تَخْشَاهُ. It tells the Prophet basically, don't fear people. Why were you afraid of telling this information that you have? Don't be afraid of people. Fear God or fear Allah alone, which means that this matter will be revealed later, so don't worry. Now, if that thing that the Prophet was hiding was the love of somebody's neighbor, wife, as the Dr. Darwaza explains, would that kind of infraction, to fall in love with the wife of your neighbor,
yes,
could that receive divine sanction in public, in the Quran, and say, all right, don't fear of people, that's okay? This is simply unthinkable, totally untenable assumption. Because this is almost like translating, oh, you love your neighbor's wife, but that's all right, don't hide it from people, fear God alone.
Yes.
Doesn't make any sense. There's no parallel to that at all in the Quran. Secondly, as indicated earlier, that the verse itself even says, we joined heart in marriage to you. Not that you wanted to marry her. We ordered you, we commanded you to get married to her. Thirdly, the reason is given in that verse. It says, in order that in the future, that is, there may be no difficulty to the believers in the matter of marriage with the wives of their adopted sons, when the latter have dissolved their marriage with them, and Allah, and Allah's command must be fulfilled. Allah's command must be fulfilled, which means it was a command actually to the Prophet to fulfill that particular function or duty entrusted to him. A third evidence is that if you move to the next verse, that's verse 38 in the same surah, it says, مَا كَانَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ مِنْ حَرَجٍ فِي مَا فَرَضَ اللَّهُ لَهُ, which means there can be no difficulty or blame or barrier to the Prophet in what Allah has indicated to him as a duty. As a duty. And that very verse also ends by saying, and the command of Allah is a decree determined. As At-Tabari himself, the one we quoted earlier in his commentary on the Quran, he says, فَرَضَ اللَّهُ لَهُ, that God indicated to him as a duty, means the command to get married to the divorcee of his foster, rather than adopted, really, foster son, Zaid, after he divorces her, and not because he wanted to get married to her. As Mawlana Mawdudi, in his The Meaning of the Quran commentary, the English version in volume 10, in page 119, says, and I quote, when Allah enjoins something on his Prophet, he has to accomplish it, even if the whole world is deadly against it. A fourth reason. You continue with the next verse, number 39. Again, it emphasizes. It says, الَّذِينَ يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَخْشَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ, which means, it is the practice of those who convey the messages of Allah and fear Him and fear none but Allah, and enough is Allah to call persons to account. Now, it is told to the Prophet then, don't be afraid that the thing that, or the information that you are hiding or keeping in your heart will eventually come out, that this marriage between Zainab and Zayd will not continue. Don't be afraid that God will ordain you or order you to get married to Zainab for a legislative purpose. So don't be afraid of that. And then it says, because you have to convey the duties entrusted unto you by God. It's just, to me, it's so obvious and so clear. A fifth reason. Continue with the following verse. I'm just trying to give the full spectrum so that there will be no misunderstanding about this issue. Excuse me. Verse 40. That's interesting also. It says, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ, which means, Muhammad is not the father of any of your men. And remember that all male children of the Prophet died in infancy, young age. And then it continues, but he is, that's Muhammad, the apostle of Allah and the seal of the prophets. And Allah has full knowledge of all things. What is intended here when it says Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, which means Muhammad is not the natural father of Zayd. Mm-hmm. See, he's not the natural father of Zayd, but he's the messenger of God, which again emphasizes the fact that the purpose is legislative and to make sure that a natural son should not be confused with a foster son. So what I'm saying basically, that if we consider this context of these verses and consistently one after the other, all of them show in no uncertain term that the Prophet, peace be upon him, Prophet Muhammad, was chosen by Allah to break that artificial taboo and barrier towards marriage of those women, to break that habit that was among the pagan Arabs, and it needed really someone of the magnitude and status of the Prophet to begin breaking this well-established tradition among the Arabs. In fact, I would say that this episode in itself is a clear evidence that the Quran is entirely revelation from Allah, not of the own making or authorship of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
I'm sure that some of our viewers may be wondering as to how you relate this episode to the
the authority of the Quran. Could you explain that connection?
Well, the connection basically is that the verses here speak about something very private, something that was in the heart of the Prophet. And no human being knew what is in the heart of the Prophet or what the information he had or revelation as to what's going to happen in the matter of divorce or marriage. And as such, it is information that nobody else knew. If the Prophet were to be regarded as the author of the Quran, why should he speak about these, you know, private thoughts, and then the verse itself says, why are you hiding it? So it's almost like chastising him, don't worry about hiding it. So why should he tell people and concoct wording or verses to reveal something that nobody even knew about it before, and which include his own rebuking even for even hesitating or at least having this sort of worry about what is going to happen in the future. Now, we find the connection here quite beautifully expressed in the words of his wife Aisha, who said that if Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, were to hide or conceal anything of the revelation, he would have concealed that verse. So, I mean, there is a vested interest, not only concocting, but even if the Prophet was receiving the revelation of the Quran, but he had the choice to reveal or to hide, if there is any motive for him to hide any verse from the Quran, he would have hid that verse because nobody else knew about it.
Yes.
So that means actually that he was absolutely meticulous and had the full integrity in conveying whatever word is revealed of the word of Allah, the Quran, to him exactly as he received it, even those verses that might sound even like being too critical of him, even with for good innocent decisions or thoughts that he might have had in mind. That's why I said it's connected actually with the authority and source of the Quran.
Your answer might have triggered another question in the minds of some of our viewers. That is, they might raise the question as to whether or not the worries of the Prophet were an indication of his hesitancy to carry out the command of Allah, mm-hmm. The command that is to marry Zainab. If so, would it be would that be appropriate to his role as a Prophet and as a model of obedience to Allah, in your opinion?
Well, to begin with, anyone who reviews the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is bound to find that he has been a role model in the implementation of the commands of Allah. There is no single incident that indicates that he ever disobeyed any command of Allah or even hesitated to carry out that command. But as Azza Darwaza explains, he said these worries of the Prophet about the development that was revealed to him that's going to take place was not at all a matter of hesitancy in implementing the command of Allah, because up to that point the Prophet did not receive a direct command in the Quran that he should get married to Zainab, because she was still living with Zayd. He was simply told that he will be commanded to marry her in the future, and as such his worries really had nothing to do with the disobedience to Allah. He was definitely ready to implement the command of Allah when it comes. But of course, he thought also that to break this long-established custom and face the criticism of the people who considered the divorcee of a foster son, as he should be called really, just like a divorcee of a natural son, it would have been regarded to them as a terrible thing to do. So he never thought to be disobedient, but he was worried as a human, of course, that, you know, what people might say to me. And even when the Quran says you should fear Allah and don't, you know, fear other people, it does not mean that he put the fear of people above the fear of Allah. But just like when I say don't lose your trust in me, it doesn't mean that you have any distrust in me, but I'm just giving you the assurance at the time when you really need to be inspired, and that I want to really inspire more courage and fortitude to face a difficult duty that is going to be assigned to you. One thing I'd just like to add by way of completion, that some scholars also said that there is a possibility that what the Prophet also was worried about could have been that people might say that the marriage that he arranged failed. He was the one who arranged the marriage between Zainab and Zayd and pressured Zainab to accept Zayd. And he might have been worried also that people say, all right, you know, the Prophet himself arranged the marriage, but it didn't succeed. However, I would say that the earlier explanation that we discussed is perhaps the most likely one, because of course it's much more difficult for the Prophet to hear people saying, oh, he got married to the daughter of his, to the divorcee of his adopted son. It's much more hard than saying a marriage failed, because failure of marriage or its success was not totally in the control of the Prophet, and it happens all the time. But in any case, I don't think there's any room at all, really, as some Orientalists say, you know, to entertain their theory about that particular marriage, which sound to me, after examining objectively those reasons, as more fiction, really, than a careful, honest, and objective analysis of the situation.
Right. We only have a couple of moments left on today's program, but there is another area that I do want to touch on. We perhaps won't be able to finish it. We may have to come back to it in the next week's program. But the issue is often raised in the Orientalist writings that while the Prophet had restricted his followers to a minimum of four wives, he himself broke the law and married more than four wives. How would you comment on that?
Well, I'm glad that you put it almost as they say it, even though, of course, the way they put it is quite objectionable. And it relates, actually, to the question that you raised earlier. My initial reaction to this, that the way they put it, as you described, which is true, true that they say that, not that it's true itself, carries a sort of a subtle assumption that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is not a genuine or truthful prophet. Some people might say, why? I mean, what's the connection? The connection here is that the restriction of the number of wives, the first time that the Quran limited the unlimited practice among the Arabs of getting married to too many wives, that when the Quran limited to four, that was not the words of the Prophet.
Yes.
That was actually the divine revelation, was the word of Allah who revealed it to the Prophet, and that became, you know, a new regulation. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as we indicated several times, many times indicated that the Quran is not his own words. The restrictions or injunctions in the Quran are not of his own making, but rather it is the command of Allah simply communicated through him. So for those scholars to keep repeating that it was the Prophet, or implying, at least insinuating, that it was the Prophet who thought of that idea,
yes,
said, oh yeah, well, if we limited the number of wives to four now, it would be good. It is just tantamount of accusing him of lying, a matter that has been clearly contrary to his character and all evidence available. And we have seen lots of those evidences as we went on, and in the series on the Quran, the authority of the Quran, or called the Quran Ultimate Miracle. Oh, there were something like 32 programs that gives all kind of rational, historical, even scientific reason to conclude that the Quran could have never been written by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or authored by him. I tried to restrict the answer so far only to the issue of the tone of the statements that the Orientalists make.
Yes.
But we'll be glad to come back to the specific issue of the why the Prophet married more than four, even though it is in the Quran.
Yes, we'll have to do that in our next program, because unfortunately we've exhausted our time for today, Brother Jamal. I want to thank you all for watching. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.